My brothers and sisters, one of the main reasons for the remarkable growth of this university and of the unified church school system has been the understanding, vision, and leadership of the chairman of the executive committee of both the Board of Trustees of the Brigham Young University and of the Board of Education of the church. I've been grateful to have the opportunity to work under his direction. And I have the honor, therefore, to introduce to you today, chairman of both of these executive committees, president of the Quorum of the Twelve, a man who has faithfully served this church as one of its general authorities for nearly half a century, President Joseph Fielding Smith.
It was suggested that I say something about the School of the Prophets at this session. I'd like to preface my remarks with a few remarks about the Prophet Joseph Smith and his interest in education. He never had much opportunity for schooling, that is, going to school as other boys and girls go to school. Much he had to learn at his mother's side or knee. But he had the best teachers that ever any man had. And he became the most profound, the best informed, the greatest of all teachers of these modern days. For he was taught by angels and by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he was always interested in education and seeing that the members of the church had every opportunity which circumstances permitted to receive training in the things pertaining to this world as well as to things pertaining to the world to come. One of the first things undertaken in the city of Nauvoo was to establish a university. But long before that, some of our brethren were appointed, Parley P. Pratt, William Phelps, to prepare textbooks that could be used not only by the children, but which the elders of Israel could use. And shortly after the organization of the church, a school was established. In fact, two of them were established. One was the School of the Elders. and teachers were brought to take part and teach in that school, not only the ordinary branches of education, but to teach the elders of this church some of the foreign languages, principally Hebrew and German. This school of the elders, established in Kirtland, long before the temple was built, in seeking knowledge of countries and kingdoms and so forth, the Lord gave a revelation which we call section 88, or the olive leaf. So that the members of the church might be inspired to seek for knowledge and understanding of the things pertaining to this earth, and likewise to the eternities. In this school, a Jewish scholar was appointed or called to teach the brethren Hebrew. It is my opinion that the prophet felt that the Hebrew language was of perhaps more importance than any other language for our people to learn. The Bible comes from the Hebrew people. The Lord calls attention to this fact in the Book of Mormon, speaking particularly of the Jews. But that term Jew meant more than just the descendants of Judah. It had reference to the tribes of the Hebrew nation, the children of Israel. The prophet sent a letter to William W. Phelps, who was in Missouri, January 14, 1833, in which the following appears. You will see that the Lord commanded us in Kirtland to build a house of God and establish a school of the prophets. This is the word of the Lord to us, and we must, yea, the Lord helping us, we will obey, as on conditions of our obedience, he has promised us great things, yea, even a visit from the heavens to honor us with his own presence. Now that's a reference to the school of the prophets. This is distinct from the school of the elders, where the Hebrew scholar, Dr. Saeksis, taught them the Hebrew. I shall read, before I'm through, some of the statements in the Revelation in regard to these two schools. In another communication written by commandment by Elders Orson Hyde and Hiram Smith, this is recorded. We now close our epistle by saying unto you that the Lord has commanded us to purify ourselves, to wash our hands and our feet, that ye may testify to his Father and our Father, to his God and our God, that we are clean from the blood of this generation. Before we could wash our hands and our feet, we were constrained to write this letter. Therefore, with a feeling of inexpressible anxiety, for your welfare, we say again, repent, repent, or Zion must suffer. That is found in the Documentary History of the Church, Volume 1, on page 320. In the winter of 1832 and 3, the prophet wrote again, we spent in translating the scriptures, that is, the time, the school of the prophets, and sitting in conference, I had many glorious seasons of refreshing. So you see, this school of the prophets was organized as was the other school. Very shortly after the organization of the church, the school of the prophets and the school where the ordinary branches were taught continued in Kirtland until the exodus from Kirtland. I'm sorry to say it was not continued in Nauvoo nor in Missouri. Because circumstances did not permit. The persecutions and the drivings and all the conditions that the brethren had to face, this school was not continued. However, the prophet from time to time gave instruction. He did gather the brethren together and instructed them. And as I've already said, prepared for a university and appointed some of our prominent educated men to take charge in the city of Nauvoo. It was for this school that the lectures on faith were prepared, which were delivered to the elders. I suppose that the rising generation doesn't know much about the lectures on faith. They used to appear in the Doctrine and Covenants, not as revelations, but as helps in the study of faith. And they continued in the Doctrine and Covenants for many years until about 1920. And when they got out a new edition, with double columns. The lectures on faith were removed. Some people have wondered about that. The reason they were taken out was because they were not revelations, but helps. A great many of the members of the church have had an idea that they were revelations. And the mistake was made by taking them out of the Doctrine and Covenants. But when they were received and ordered, placed in the Doctrine and Covenants, it was made very plain that they were added merely as helps or to assist us in the study of faith. And the brethren felt justified in removing them from the Doctrine and Covenants, thus leaving in the Doctrine and Covenants the revelations of Jesus Christ. In my own judgment, these lectures on faith are of great value and should be studied. I think they can be obtained in printed form. They were not taken out because they contain false doctrine. And I consider them to be of extreme value in the study of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These lectures were compiled, I say, in this school, the School of the Prophets. And the Prophet Joseph Smith prepared them. There may have been some suggestions in them that came from some other brethren, but the Prophet himself revised and prepared these lectures on faith for publication. And they were studied in the School of the Prophets. The School of the Prophets is not something new to this dispensation. In ancient Israel, especially in the days of Samuel, Elijah, and Elisha, we hear of the activities of this school. We can read in 1 Samuel, the 10th chapter, that after Samuel had anointed Saul to be king of Israel, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, and he joined a company of the sons of the prophets. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he prophesied. In 1 Kings chapter 2, we read of this school of the prophets, the sons of the prophets. We read about them at the time that Elijah was taken into heaven. And they followed Elijah. And after he was taken away, they followed Elisha. And then we read, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood in view afar off. And they too, Elijah and Elisha, stood by Jordan. These sons of the prophets discovered that the power of Elijah was upon Elisha. And so, after Elijah was taken, they followed Elisha. It seems to me quite evident that there was a number of very choice young men who followed these two great prophets and were taught by them. We read of the sons of the prophets in other parts of our scriptures, and how certain of these young prophets were sent with special missions to anoint, to bless certain individuals. Now, the inference is very strong, it seems to me at least, that these young men who were called the sons of the prophets were not Levites. You know, the Lord took away Moses and the higher priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood, from Israel, and left with them the Aaronic priesthood and the carnal law. And so the sons of Aaron became the priests of the people, ministered to them, looked after their wants, but in a restricted way because they were subject. As the Lord has pointed out in section 84 of the Doctrine and Covenants, to the preparatory gospel, faith, repentance, baptism, they had no power to lay on hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. There were other things they could not do. And so the Lord had to keep someone with the Melchizedek priesthood, although it was not scattered among the tribes of Israel. Most of those who held the higher priesthood were not of the tribe of Levi. Some were, but they came from other tribes. And these prophets gathered around them choice young men and taught them, instructed them, and they followed in the footsteps of these prophets. And they became known as sons of the prophets. And it was a group of these young men that followed Elijah and followed Elisha and were present on the occasion when Saul was anointed king of Israel. Now, the Melchizedek priesthood, I say, was not given to everyone. It was confined to a selected few. And there were a few that came out of the other tribes of Israel who followed the prophets, and by their faith and understanding became prophets themselves. Just how many of them were given the authority to officiate in ordinances, the higher ordinances, the Lord has not revealed. But it was by special appointment when this priesthood was given to any of the prophets. These students of Elisha and Elijah and a few others were chosen then by revelation and commissioned, at least many of them, to anoint and to bless. And they were sent to deliver prophetic messages from time to time. The object for which the school was organized in this dispensation is plainly stated in this revelation, section 88. I'm going to read part of it later. None could join except he was clean from the blood of this generation. The only way he could be clean was to be obedient to the covenants of the gospel and labor in behalf of his fellows for their salvation. Thus, the preaching of the gospel was by a requirement made of those who desired to join this school, the school of the prophets. This school was organized in Salt Lake City after the saints came to these valleys under the direction of President Brigham Young. He continued for some time, but there came a time when some of the members who attended that school became rebellious. Dissension broke out. When the spirit of apostasy entered into the hearts of some of these brethren who assembled to receive divine instruction, and so the school of the prophets was closed. And from that time until now, in the form in which it then existed, has never again been brought into existence. The school of the prophets, as far as we have a school of the prophets today, is confined to the First Presidency and the Council of the Twelve. Now, in regard to these, I want to read these two schools. I want to read what the Lord said to the prophet by revelation. Organize yourselves, prepare every needful thing, and establish a house, even a house of prayer, a house of fasting, a house of faith, a house of learning, a house of glory, a house of order, a house of God, that your incoming may be in the name of the Lord, that your outgoings may be in the name of the Lord, that all your salutations may be in the name of the Lord, with uplifted hands unto the Most High. Therefore, cease from all your light speeches, from all laughter, that is, loud laughter, boisterous laughter, from all your pride and light-mindedness, and from all your wicked doings. Appoint among yourselves a teacher, and let not all be spokesmen at once, but let one speak at a time, and let all listen unto his sayings. that when all have spoken, that all may be edified of all, and that every man may have an equal privilege. See that ye love one another. Cease to be covetous. Learn to impart one to another as the gospel requires. Cease to be idle. Cease to be unclean. Cease to find fault one with another. Cease to sleep longer than is needful. Retire to thy bed early, that ye may not be weary. Arise early, that your bodies and your minds may be invigorated. That's good counsel for all of us today. And above all things, clothe yourselves with the bonds of charity as with a mantle, which is the bond of perfectness and peace. Pray always that ye may not faint until I come. Behold, and lo, I will come quickly and receive you unto myself. Amen. And again, the order of the house prepared for the presidency of the school of the prophets, established for their instruction in all things that are expedient for them, even for all the officers of the church, or in other words, those who are called to the ministry in the church, beginning at the high priest, even down to the deacons. And this shall be the order of the house of the presidency of this school. He that is appointed to be president or teacher shall be found standing in his place in the house which shall be prepared for him. Therefore he shall be first in the house of God, in a place that the congregation in the house may hear his words carefully and distinctly, not with loud speech. And when he cometh into the house of God, he should be first in the house. Behold, this is beautiful, that he may be an example. Let him offer himself in prayer upon his knees before God, in token of remembrance of the everlasting covenant. And when they shall come in after him, let the teacher arise and with uplifted hands to heaven, yea, even directly salute his brother or brethren with these words, "Art thou a brother or a brethren? I salute you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in token of remembrance of the everlasting covenant, in which covenant I receive you to fellowship, in a determination that is fixed, immovable, and unchangeable, to be your friend and brother through the grace of God, in the bonds of love, to walk in all the commandments of God, blameless in thanksgiving, forever and ever. Amen. And he that is found unworthy of this salutation shall not have place among you. For he shall not suffer ye shall not suffer that mine house shall be polluted by them. And he that cometh in and is faithful before me, and is a brother, or if they be brethren, they shall salute the president or teacher with uplifted hands to heaven, with the same prayer and covenant, or by saying amen in token of the same. Behold, verily I say unto you, this is an ensample unto you for salutation to one another in the house of God, in the school of the prophets. And ye shall call to do, and ye are called to do this by prayer and thanksgiving, as the Spirit shall give utterance in all your doings in the house of the Lord, in the school of the prophets, that it may become a sanctuary, a tabernacle of the Holy Spirit to your edification. Now, other instructions were given. I said there was a school of learning. Let me read a verse or two here in regard to it. Also I give unto you a commandment, that ye shall continue in prayer and fasting, from this time forth. And I give unto you a commandment that you shall teach one another the doctrines of the kingdom. Teach ye diligently, and my grace shall attend you, that you may be instructed more perfectly in theory, in practice, in doctrine, in the law of the gospel, in all things that pertain unto the kingdom of God, that are expedient for you to understand. Now this is instruction that was given to the elders who had been out preaching the gospel and who had been called in to be endowed that they might go out with more power. To continue the quotation, of things both in heaven and in the earth, and under the earth, things which have been, things which are, things which must shortly come to pass, things which are at home, things which are abroad, the wars and the perplexities of the nations, and the judgments which are on the land, and in knowledge also of countries and of kingdoms. I think that covers about all that you're taught here in this university. And the Lord has called upon us to teach these things. But whether we come to school here to be taught from textbooks that are published by those who are not of the church, or to be taught from textbooks that are published by those who belong to the church, we should come in that same spirit of faith, with a desire in our hearts to seek the truth, to draw near unto God, our eternal Father, and worship Him in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm grateful for the opportunity of meeting with all you good people who have assembled here at this grand gathering of the leadership, to be instructed by those who are appointed to give the instruction from time to time while you are here. The Lord bless you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.